Hello, this is Anviti. Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, January 14th, and coming up in today's episode. Delhi election race intensifies with tussle over public schemes. India-Nepal's apology from Meta chief Mark Zuckerberg over Indian election win misinformation. BCCI to tighten the noose around players and set stricter rules. First up, with less than a month to go for the Delhi election, political parties in the national capital are racing to prove who has the better scheme for people. The latest scheme flashpoint being Ayushman Bharat. The Aam Aadmi Party government has told the Delhi High Court that it did not implement the center's Ayushman Bharat Yojana for medical insurance because the capital's residents enjoy superior benefits under the Delhi government's schemes. Implementing the center's scheme would downgrade the health schemes currently in force in Delhi, the capital's Health and Family Welfare Minister Saurabh Bhardwaj said in an affidavit. The Aam Aadmi Party minister was responding to a petition by seven BJP MPs seeking the implementation of the central scheme. In his response, he has said that the petition, quote, ostensibly filed as a public interest litigation, is nothing else but a politically motivated petition, filed in view of ensuing Delhi elections to the Legislative Assembly of Delhi, unquote, adding that all the petitioners are political party members of the opposition. Later, BJP MP Basudi Swaraj, also daughter of former Delhi Chief Minister Sushma Swaraj, questioned Aam Aadmi Party's intention behind refusing to sign an MOU, which she claimed would have benefited Delhi immensely. Meanwhile, BJP's Pravesh Verma is facing trouble. The District Election Officer or DEO of New Delhi constituency has forwarded various complaints of violations of Model Code of Conduct filed by Aam Aadmi Party and its convener Arvind Kejriwal against BJP candidate Pravesh Verma to the police for investigation. The complaints filed by AAP's legal cell and Mr. Kejriwal alleged setting up of a job camps under Har Ghar Naukri campaign for registrations and distribution of Rs. 1100 by BJP and Mr. Verma. The election officers in separate reports said that flying squads formed to check Model Code of Conduct violations did not find any camps or pamphlets as alleged by the Aam Aadmi Party. The New Delhi District Election Officer, in an action taken report submitted to Chief Electoral Officer Delhi, said that police authorities were asked to investigate the facts of the allegations of job scams and distribution of Rs. 1100 and take action as per Representation of People's Act. It also said that instructions were issued to take preventative methods against holding of a job camp on January 15th. Arvind Kejriwal, BJP's Pravesh Verma and Congress's Sandeep Dixit, son of Sheila Dixit, are among the prominent candidates from the New Delhi constituency. And next, social media giant Meta is set to get a summon from a parliamentary standing committee over its boss Mark Zuckerberg's remark on the 2024 Indian general election. Nishikant Dubey, BJP MP and chairman of the House panel on communication and information technology, said Meta would be summoned on grounds of spreading misinformation. In a post on X, Mr. Dubey said, "Misinformation on a democratic country maligns its image. The organization would have to apologize to the parliament and the people for this mistake," unquote. In a podcast on January 10th, the 40-year-old Facebook co-founder said COVID pandemic had led to an erosion of trust in incumbent governments the world over. He also cited India's example in this connection and said, quote, 2024 was a very big election year around the world in all these countries. India also had elections. The incumbents basically lost every single one. There is some sort of a global phenomena, whether it was because of inflation or economic policies to deal with COVID or just how the governments dealt with COVID. It seems to have had its effect. That's global, he said. Soon after, Union Minister Ashwini Vaishnav fact-checked Zuckerberg's remark and said that people of India had reaffirmed their faith in NDA led by Prime Minister Narendra Modi in the election held last year. Interestingly, Mark Zuckerberg recently announced the removal of third-party fact-checking from his own Meta websites, including Instagram. In a post on X, Ashwini Vaishnav had written, and I quote, "As the world's largest democracy, India conducted the 2024 elections with over 640 million voters. People of India reaffirmed their trust in NDA led by Prime Minister Modi. Mr. Zuckerberg's claim that most incumbent governments, including India, in 2024 elections lost post-COVID is factually incorrect." urging Mr. Zuckerberg to uphold facts and credibility. He said, from free food for 800 million, 2.2 billion free vaccines, and aid to nations worldwide during COVID to leading India in the fastest growing major economy, Prime Minister Modi's decisive third-term victory is a testament to good governance and public trust. Meta, it's disappointing to see misinformation from Mr. Zuckerberg himself. The ruling Bharatiya Janata Party, which had thumping victories in 2019 and 2014, Lok Sabha polls had some setbacks this general election. However, the NDA as a whole managed to score majority. Still, the major chunk of the NDA is Bharatiya Janata Party, built with the support of Telugu Desam Party as well as Nitish Kumar's JDU. No private cars or family time while on tour for Indian men cricketers. BCCI is reportedly working on introducing stricter rules for the team, both for on-field as well as off-field decorum, apparently in the backdrop of massive Australian debacle. As per unverified media reports, the BCCI feels players' performances on overseas tours gets affected negatively if they stay with their families for long durations. Hence, the board wants to reintroduce a rule that existed before 2019, limiting family times with players. Other rule changes proposed are regarding team members' behaviour off-field and some tenure durations. After the 1-3 defeat in Border Gavaskar Trophy, Australia secured a spot on the World Test Championship roster, while India's defeat has repeatedly rattled its cricket board. India had big wins in the first half of 2024, most impressively the phenomenal victory in the men's T20 World Cup. However, India had a complete wipeout in the October-November New Zealand tour in our home ground. Then the disappointing failure of the Border Gavaskar Trophy has led to massive shifts in the board, according to sources. To figure out what went wrong and fix it, the board is now limiting family time for the players. For a tour now spanning 45 days, the families would be allowed a maximum 14-day visit. Media reports claim this decision comes after wives of players such as Virat Kohli and Rohit Sharma unintentionally became the focal points of many media and social media discussions. Other big changes being discussed, according to sources, is limiting private travel of players while on tour. A source said that players will now have to travel on the team bus. This is after senior players, including Virat Kohli, were seen travelling separately for the games during Border Gavaskar Trophy. Lastly, support staff could now face a stricter contract with a maximum tenure of just 3 years. This comes as a result of criticism of head coach Gautam Gambhir and his team for back-to-back test losses. The BCCI has also tightened screws against head coach Gautam Gambhir and his manager Gaurav Arora. Gambhir's manager would neither be allowed to stay in the team hotel, nor would he be permitted to be seated in the VIP box at stadiums, which he has been doing so far. The manager would not even be allowed to accompany Gambhir in the team bus or the bus behind it. The report has also stated that during air travel, the BCCI would not pay for players' luggage if the weight exceeds 150 kg. The players would then be asked to bear the cost themselves. Is a ceasefire deal finally on the horizon for Israel and Gaza? Negotiators are very clear to conclude a ceasefire deal, which would see Hamas return 33 Israeli hostages in the final week of the Biden administration before the next Monday. In the latest signal that an agreement could be near, Israeli government believes that Hamas and its allies still hold 94 hostages taken from Israel during the October 7, 2023 attack, at least 34 of whom are dead. A deal with Hamas could release 33 hostages, some of whom may not be alive, during the initial 42-day-long ceasefire, Bloomberg reported, quoting senior Israeli officer. Israel believes the bodies of dead hostages will also likely be among 33 people released during the first phase of the trial. Quoting the diplomat close to negotiations, CNN reported that a final round of talks to finalize any issues was scheduled to take place in Doha on Tuesday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who was recently diagnosed with cancer, has invited some of the hostages' families to meet him on the same day, according to the Hostages and Missing Families Forum. The release of hostages would be the first phase of the deal, and negotiations for the second phase would begin on 16th day of the implementation of the deal, which is intended to end the war. However, this is a difficult prediction, As the Israel-Palestine conflict goes back decades, all the way to 1948 when Israel was first established as a country. The decades-long war has resulted in multiple deaths, millions of displacements, and many international treaties which have been made and broken. The latest conflict escalation happened after Hamas attacked a music festival in the Israeli territory on October 7th of 2023, killing 1,200 of Israeli people. Israel's retaliation has now lasted over 15 months. According to Gaza Health Ministry, over 45,000 people have been killed, mostly women and children, in this war, and millions have been displaced from West Bank, Gaza, Rafah. According to the latest CNN report, under the current truce deal proposed by Qatar, during the first phase, Israeli forces will remain stationed along with Philadelphia Corridor, a narrow strip of land along the Egypt-Gaza border. The presence of Israeli troops along the corridor was one of the reasons why a potential deal could not be finalized in September of last year. Israel would also maintain a buffer zone inside Gaza along the border with Israel. The width of the buffer zone is not clear yet, according to the CNN report. Hamas wants the buffer zone to return to pre-October 7 sizes of 300 to 500 meters from the borderline, while Israel is requesting 2,000 meters. Moreover, residents of northern Gaza could return freely to the north of the strip, but unspecified security arrangements would reportedly remain in place. According to Israeli officials, Palestinian prisoners captured by Israel, who are deemed responsible for killing Israelis by Israel, would not be released into the West Bank, but rather to Gaza Strip or abroad, following the agreements with foreign country. There would be a significant increase of humanitarian aid into the Gaza Strip, where international bodies, including the United Nations, warn that population is facing severe humanitarian crisis, notably due to the ongoing war, Israel's attempts to block aid, and the repeated military action. Many in Gaza are facing starvation, with reports of children being frozen to death not uncommon. Israel allows aid into the enclave. However, there have been disputes over the amount allowed in wealth, as well as the amount that reaches people in need, with looting by criminal gangs being an ever-increasing problem. That's all for today. You were listening to the news with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to the news with NDTV on Apple, Spotify, and the NDTV News app. This is your host, Anmiti, signing off.